This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello, everyone. Good to have you with us. Welcome along to William Hill's Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner and Mike Grenham joining you ahead of just the one event this week, the Welsh Open, in the week leading up to the 2014 Ryder Cup at Gleneagles. Still, Mike, there are lots to talk about. Billy Horschel's win last week in the Tour Championship, sealing the FedEx Cup for him. $10 million on top of the tournament winnings as well. And he almost, Billy Horschel, went back-to-back-to-back. In the end, just going back-to-back and having picked him at 66-1 the week before, left him out at a lot shorter price, 20-1 last week. His ball striking was just sensational once again.
He was, Dave, yes. He was very pickable last week. In fact, we talked about it on the podcast. I may even have made him a player I didn't want to win. I can't remember, did I? Because I was very close to picking him, but I didn't. So Keimer looked a better option at the prices for both of us. I mean, we both liked Billy Horschel last week. We got that wrong, didn't we, ultimately?
Keimer was abysmal, really.
Keimer was abysmal, and Horschel, you know, I should have stuck with him, really. And I did think about doing it, but you know, you live by your decisions, and he didn't let down those who stuck with him, did he? Because he's just playing out of his skin, the lad. So as you rightly say, he could easily have won the event that Kirk won. Which one was that?
BMW,
and then won the two after it. So it could have been carnage on the playoffs with Horschel just winning everything, couldn't it? So fair play to him. He's just hits the ball so well, and when, as I think we mentioned last week, when he's putting well as he is at the moment, is the rest of his game's great. So his putting's just really back on song in the last couple of months, and a great player. So I wish him well. I've nothing but good thoughts towards Billy Horschel after last week. I wish I backed him this week, obviously, but you know, you can't get them all. You only bat so many in smaller fields, can't you, Dave? And we tried not to have too many picks. So he's a major winner in potentially in waiting.
Definitely. It was the BMW that Horschel won. It was the Deutsche Bank that Kirk managed to grab hold of when Horschel had the chance.
Yeah, awful shot on the 72nd hole, which thankfully made him a bigger price the next week and give us all a chance of a little go at that. Yeah, his
clutch putting was what impressed me most. From 6 feet and 8 in, he was just incredible.
For 2 weeks running, he's been absolutely amazing. And the week before, you know, he's just putting very, very well, and his ball striking is excellent. So there's not a lot to like.
What about the FedEx Cup playoffs as a whole, Mike? Do you like the concept? Obviously, it's been around for a while now. Do you think it needs tweaking?
The only thing I would tweak, Dave, is I think they probably need a break in the middle of it, because Rory McIlroy being a good example of players that slump, they just look a little bit tired. Is the wrong word to use, isn't it? Because it's not that hard work, is it? But
no.
Just for them to be at their absolute peak and not making silly mistakes, and maybe just a little bit of a gap in the middle of it.
Fatigue mentally more than physically, I think, a lot of these players.
Absolutely, not physically. They're all as fit as me and you, Dave. You know, real athletes. You know, so
Kevin
it's not,
Stadler, maybe not.
That's more like it, actually. Mentally, yeah, it's just... you'd have to be concerned about McIlroy for the Ryder Cup, because just whilst he's playing brilliant in bits, he just, you know, looks... mentally fatigued a bit as well, doesn't
he?
So that's the only thing I'd change. I like them. What do you think?
Yeah, I like the concept of having an end of season series.
Yeah,
my only reservation is that the points are weighted too heavily to the four playoff events. The five times the worth of regular tour events, and then two and a half times, three times as much as major championships as well.
Yeah, the problem though, Dave, is if they don't do that, it's all over often by the time they get to the playoffs. So to make it interesting and for television, which is what all these things are about, and it's the same as sports like rugby league that have a league table that doesn't really matter at the end of the season because the winner of the playoffs is the one who wins. It's the same. You've either got to bite the bullet and say, right, we want to make this a bit special, and therefore what's happened beforehand doesn't have as much of an impact, or you risk, as happened in a couple of the Tiger years, it being pretty dull.
Yeah. No, I agree. A couple of really interesting articles tweeted out by people on Twitter throughout the week as well. One by Dave Tindall, who tweeted out an article from Forbes about Tim Fincham saving the tour. So the criticism he comes in for in the press, sometimes unfounded, given that he saved the tour when it was going through its lowest ebb. And there was a great article Paul Kimmage wrote in the Irish Indy on Paul McGinley as we move forward towards the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, I've read that.
Have you read that? Did you read that? I thought it was fantastic. It gave you a real insight into Paul McGinley's mindset going into the Ryder Cup. And I was most interested in the animosity between him and Darren Clark subsequently. I thought that was the most interesting part.
Do you know
what?
I didn't get to that bit yet. I haven't finished it.
Spoiled the piece for
you. I read two thirds of it. I mean, I hadn't finished it. Yeah. How do people get that, Dave? On Irish Independent.
Yeah, the Irish Independent. Search for Paul Kimmage on Twitter, and you'll find that piece if you haven't seen it. I have tweeted it out as well. Very good writer. Obviously, he exposed. He exposed cycling and Lance Armstrong. But when you get to that point, there was a real rift driven between him and Darren Clark as a result of the captaincy for the Ryder Cup. And it goes into the politics behind the captaincy. Very interesting in the lead up to this Ryder Cup. And he talks about how his and Tom Watson's careers differ as well, and if that's going to make an impact. Obviously, we'll come on to that in more detail.
Yeah. The Ryder Cup next week. Let's park it.
Let's have a look at the Wales Open then, which is a very interesting event in its own right. A lot of people calling this calm before the storm and saying it's a low-key event. But you look at this event, and it's one of the best events on the European Tour in terms of personnel.
It's cracking.
Joost Luiten is the 12-1 favourite. Jamie Donaldson and Paul Casey both 14-1. Lee Westwood is 16. Stephen Gallagher is 20-1. Danny Willett, Francesco Molinari and Simon Dyson, all 25s. And a whole host of players on the mark of 33-1, 40s and bigger. As far as European Tour fields go, Mike, this is strong. Lee Westwood, Jamie Donaldson, Stephen Gallagher and Thomas Bjorn are almost cramming before next week's test. It's almost like revision before the real examination next week.
Yeah.
But four Ryder Cup players in the field. How first of all, do you think the prospect of playing next week will affect performance in this week's tournament? Do you see it as a positive or a negative?
I don't see it particularly as either, Dave. I think most players are professional enough to go there, and if they're good enough to win, they're not going to back off from winning, are they? So I have picked a player who's in the Ryder Cup as one of my players, so it hasn't put me off, but what do you think?
I think historically they've performed reasonably well, pretty well, to be honest. The players that have been in the Ryder Cup the week after have done well. I know Ian Poulter, when he was left out of the Ryder Cup, played well the week before. Obviously,
imagine leaving Ian Poulter out.
I know. Imagine
Cup, was that Monty?
Couldn't imagine that anymore.
Was it Monty? Yeah.
Was it Monty?
I can't remember.
I think it was before Monty.
Was it?
No, he played in Monty's Ryder Cup.
Did he?
Yeah, it was before Monty. But he was. You couldn't imagine now, could you? Ian Poulter being left out of the Ryder Cup, even if he was playing the worst golf imaginable, he'd still probably get a pick.
Well, he would at the moment, wouldn't he? At least for this one, yeah.
Absolutely. As for this tournament itself, Mike, established in 2000, relevant form comes from 2008 onwards, and that was when the 2010 course came into rotation. It's a par 71, measures just under 7,400 yards. Statistically, looking back through the years, Mike, there's not really a lot to draw upon in terms of relevant stats for this venue. I'd say greens in regulation looks maybe the best indicator. Gregory Bordy, an anomaly to that stat, but he putted incredibly well, Bordy, especially late on when holding off Peter Uihlein by a couple of shots. It's actually not everyone's favourite course on the roster, given that it was designed really for that match play event. that Ryder Cup in 2010. Yeah, so yeah, it's a golf course designed for match play rather than stroke play. A couple of really long par fives in here. I think it's the second and the last really long par fives that you can't, not many of the players will be able to reach into. It's a stadium venue, so it's quite exposed, and it's good for viewing, really, more than anything else.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, the quality of the field suggests that people don't dislike it too much, so decent prize money. I think it's a good course to watch, so I wouldn't share that so much. So, looking forward to seeing who can win in it in this pre-not-to-be-mentioned-again week event. We'll see.
I've got a couple of picks, Mike.
I've got three. In fact, I might even have four.
You've not decided yet?
Yeah, I haven't decided. My first pick is Thomas Bjorn.
Okay.
I'm going first because I've got more picks than you. Is that all right?
That's fine.
Bjorn is playing in the Ryder Cup. He's the guy that is in there. His form here, actually, in a lot of ways, reflects his play this season. He's been a little bit up and down this season and at this course. In the last 4 years, he's got a ninth, a missed cut, a second, and a 58th. And that kind of reflects what he's been doing this season, because he missed the cut in the KLM, for example, last week. But I don't think he'll want to go into that event with two bad weeks on the run. I think he'll want to get back to the form he showed in Denmark a couple of weeks ago, where he was fourth. For the whole of this year, Bjorn obviously wouldn't have qualified for Europe if he hadn't been playing great golf. And he's got good course form. Putting very well this year, which
course form is important, isn't it?
I think it is. Yeah, it's. I think so. All three of my players have got at least one good finish at this track in recent years. In Bjorn's case, it's two, and I just think at 33-1, he's a decent proposition at that price.
Okay, my headline pick here. I'm going with Eduardo Molinari as my headline selection at 40-1. I'll play him a point each way. He got that famous half here on the 2010 course back in 2010 against Ricky Fowler in the singles. Europe eventually regained that trophy, 14.5 to 13.5. His game's actually been plagued by injuries in the last two seasons. Firstly, had a wrist problem. Then this season had a problem with his thumb as well. But he's back to something like his best right now. I think he'll be highly motivated this week as well. The big events tend to bring out the best in Eduardo Molinari. Tied ninth in the Dubai Desert Classic earlier in the season. Second at the Irish Open. Finished tied seventh at the Open Championship as well. So this is a guy in really good form this season. Last couple of starts, finished tied 13th at the Omega European Masters. And tied 11th last week in the KLM Open. He's an extremely strong putter. I think he will have been working hard on his game, because even with those two decent finishes in the European Masters and the KLM Open, he talked about his game, long game, not being quite up to scratch. So I think he'll have been working very, very hard in the lead up to this event. He's got decent form here. Finished fourth here in 2010. Mentioned the Ryder Cup performance as well. Didn't pull up any trees in the Ryder Cup, but did get that very important half against Ricky Fowler. I think he's overpriced in comparison to his brother this week, Francesco, who's 25-1. Brothers, actually, there's some ties in here with this golf course and Le Golf National, where Francesco Molinari's played well at Le Golf National in the past, but not replicated that form here. Eduardo Molinari, a little bit of form here, but not played well in the event in France in the past. He's a strong, solid striker of a golf ball. Great putter as well. So I'll go with Eduardo as my pick at 40s.
Yeah, I have a theory on the Molinaris, Dave. I think they're always underpriced for how often they win. I was just checking while you were talking there, and Eduardo's got two wins to his name, and Francesco's got three in their career. For players of that ability, that's on the European Tour, that's not fantastic, is it? And they're never massive prices for me, but they're good players, aren't they? So they give people a good run for the money, but they don't tend to get over the winning line.
I think Eduardo's good in contention. Francesco's not so much. I think Eduardo's struggled with injury more. Francesco's a better all-round ball striker, without a doubt, but Eduardo's a much better putter than Francesco. I see where you're coming from, definitely, with them being underpriced. I agree on in the case of Francesco. Not so sure in the case of Eduardo.
Remember, 4 years since he's won an event.
Yeah, remember Eduardo's a late bloomer, though. That 2010 was his first real strong season on tour.
Yeah, he won twice
And then he's had injuries in 2012 and 2013, which have curtailed those seasons. Back to the form he was showing in 2010 that he didn't show subsequently. Francesco's a different case entirely because he's been playing week in, week out in European Tour events without injury for 4 or 5 years. 5 or 6 years, in fact, because he arrived on the scene, despite being the younger of the two, before Eduardo. So I think that the different cases, Eduardo
possibly.
And Francesco, in
my opinion. I never backed them, I have to say, because I just think they're underpriced. You know, I'm nothing against them, and they're great players, obviously, but I think the market always has them a little bit tight. That's just my own opinion, Simon Dyson is my second pick, Dave. I picked him last week and he got a second place for us in the KLM. Never really looked like winning, did he? You'd have pulled out a little bit clip if you picked him in with a second one. You'd have played a little clip of what you said about it.
I never do that.
He wasn't good enough to beat Casey, in truth. A lot of players last weekend kind of got to the front and went backwards, like Michael Jackson doing the moonwalk, didn't they? They were like...
they did a little
it
bit.
It was...
He sneaked up there, didn't he, Dyson?
He sneaked up into a second place. That's a very fair call, Dave. Even I'd have to admit that. 4 top 20s on this course on the trot. 6th, 18th, 20th, 18th again. 7th and a 2nd in Italy in the KLM in his last two events. Top 20 on tour for greens in regulation. A good putter.
Yeah.
Simon Dyson, 25-1. I just think he'll be placed again at least this week, so I couldn't leave him out. Playing well. Look. After a very moderate first round, which, you know, he rescued slightly in the end, had a very good weekend, and at 25s, he just got the nod over Paul Casey, actually. I very nearly put Casey in.
I was close to picking Casey. The guys at the top of the betting, Casey's the one I want to be with. I think he's got a point to prove, hasn't he, at the moment? That 62-66 weekend at the KLM was fantastic.
No.
He will be upset that he missed out. The nappy factor coming to prominence there.
Yes.
He'll be upset that he missed out on the Ryder Cup, I think. He'll be very upset. And
well, he couldn't expect to be picked, could he?
No, he couldn't. He couldn't.
And he didn't play himself in, but he'll know that he's good enough. He's better at his best than some of the players who are in the team.
On Dyson, 25-1 this week, 25-1 last week.
Yes.
Last week had incredible form going into that event in terms of course form at the Dutch Open, having won golf course twice.
Yeah.
This is a stronger field, is the same price.
It's a stronger field... marginally, isn't it? He's finished second last weekend. He's got good course form here, hasn't he? He's in great form. It's borderline stronger field, isn't it? I would say.
I think it's quite a bit.
Loughton's in there. Westwood, I suppose, is in there. But you've got the front three all played last week, didn't they? Donaldson played, didn't he? Oh no, he didn't. Maybe a bit stronger this week, but not massively so. There's no Rory McIlroy or Phil Mickelson or whatever. I mean, he's 4 top 20s here on the trot, Dyson, and he's in cracking form with 2 top 10s on the trot. You've got to look at what he did last week and say final couple of rounds he was excellent.
Simon Dyson, 25-1.
I'll go against him in a free lunch bet.
We can't be discussing free lunch bets at this part of the podcast, mate. That comes at the end when I try and railroad you at some point.
Alright, we're not doing the one.
You want to take a 25-1 shot against a 40-1 shot here?
Oh, sorry, yes. Yeah, I was looking at Francesco there. I was looking at the wrong price.
I'm going with...
I'll lay off.
I'm going with Seve Benson as my second selection here at 100-1. He's not quite lived up, it's fair to say, he's not quite lived up to expectation just yet, given that he was named after Severiano Ballesteros. Not quite reached those heights yet.
He's a professional golfer, Dave, making his way, you know, not doing bad for himself.
No, he's not doing badly for himself. I've got two guys that have had injury problems in the past as my two picks here. He's had back problems throughout his career.
Take him against Simon Dyson for free lunch, if you want.
I'll wait to see what your final pick is first, Mike, before committing. He's had back problems throughout his career as well. He had 3 months off following the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth to the Italian Open. Last two starts have been pretty promising, though. He tied 46 on his comeback in Italy. Impressive performance a couple of weeks ago in the Omega European Masters. Omega are getting a lot of plugs in this podcast.
Yeah,
what a watch.
From you. Yeah.
To finish tied 13th. He was actually tied 8th here last year, Seve Benson. An impressive 69-68 over the weekend. And I like his greens in regulation stats as well. Ranks 29th in GIR this season. Long off the tee, which isn't necessarily a positive, but won't be a hindrance either around this golf course. I think he's got the game to feature. I think he's an impressive young player, Seve Benson. His career curtailed by injury to some extent, but had four top tens in 2013. I'll take a chance with him. Impressed with his last couple of performances coming back from injury. And I like the look of the eighth last year as well. So Seve Benson, a point each way at 100-1.
Fair dues, Dave. My third pick is a guy. I'd two players I was looking at as outsiders. One of them's a little bit shorter than I anticipated. I think I will mention him maybe and put him in. But the one that I definitely will put in is Alvaro Quiroz. Really a prize player, 125-1 for this quality player. A guy who has plenty of tour wins to his name. Was 20th here in 2010. Did miss the cut here last year, which would have to be a worry. And in reality, he's been somewhat inconsistent in recent turnouts. You know, putting in good finishes like Nordea in Italy alongside missed cuts. So there is a little bit of a risk. But 125-1 in this field, and I know you say it's a, but it's not. It's not an absolutely top class field, is
no,
it?
No, it's not a completely stellar cast.
No,
but
not.
This is what
it's a decent event.
This is what
it?
We are going to get on the European tour for years to come. Now, even the best events on the European, the very best events on the European tour do attract incredible fields. For instance, the BMW PGA Championship. But apart from that, this is what we are going to get on the European tour.
Yeah, because the top players can play the WGC events, the majors. And the lights.
Then they're getting the FedEx Cup.
And they're nearly doing their European membership with that as well. So they don't need to play lots of events, it's true. Top 10 for greens in regulation this year, Quiroz. Very long off the tee, which can be important here. As you rightly say, though, it's quite hard to put a finger on what is the absolute key attribute at this course. But the one thing that he needs to improve, this has been his Achilles heel this season, is his putting. Do think you need to put well here. So if he's having an off week with the putter Alvaro, he could easily miss the cut, to be fair. Looking at it the other way, he's a quality player who knows how to win, will hit it a long way. Got a top 20 finish here and has shown signs of preparing for a win again on tour. And 125, I think, is a very decent price for this quality player.
Alvaro Quiroz, 125-1. Honourable mentions then. Top of the market.
I've got another player that I might put up as a bet, Dave. I tossed and turned about this, but I was a little bit disappointed with the price. But I picked Rafael Jacquelin last week, and he finished 11th without ever really getting in the picture. Could probably done with him finishing about 18th or 20th or something, because it may just 100-1 was a bit shorter than I was anticipating. I've also had a look, and a couple of very decent judges on the internet tipping front have picked him as well, so that's probably why he's where he is, to be fair. But third here in 2008 and that 11th in the KLM, 100-1. I might have a little small one on him. I know that'd be a fourth bet, but I am tempted to, because if he wins, I'll be kicking myself. So I think yes is the answer. Just good course form, a couple of other top 20s here in the third, and shaping up nicely. Might not be quite long enough of the tee to be absolutely ideal for here, but if he puts well this week, could go very well.
100-1 Rafael Jacquelin.
I was hoping for at least 125s or 150s, but
I can see that. I like that pick though, 100-1, and not surprised.
I don't want to leave him out at that.
We talked about Paul Casey at the top of the betting. He came closest for you, Mike, as of the guys at the top of the betting.
I was really close to picking him, but lack of recent course form just kind of put me off, I suppose, at 14. It wouldn't have taken a much bigger price. He should be favourite, by the way.
Yeah.
He should be favourite for this event. As much as I like Loughton, you know, he shouldn't be shorter than Casey, I don't think, or Donaldson's. Well, Donaldson's level with him. Casey, great greens in regulation play, and that win last week was very impressive. He's been threatening all season to go on a run, and it now might be the time. Just left him.
I agree. I just thought that you could afford to leave him at 14-1. Having missed last week. Lee Westwood's interesting.
Sorry to interrupt there. The one thing that slightly put me off is that he won the Irish Open last year, and I thought he was going to do going a right run then and gain some momentum. And he can't, and he didn't.
Yeah.
So that is just in the back of my mind.
I look back through all his wins on the European Tour the week after. Hadn't really performed.
Yeah.
So that put me off as well a little bit.
I agree.
Lee Westwood's interesting, I think, as well. 16-1 Lee Westwood. Obviously, he's come here to fine-tune his game. He really has come here, I think, to fine-tune his game ahead of next week.
Your question earlier on was, I suppose, the subtext was, do they want to win and be in the contention the week before the Ryder Cup? Yeah, they do. There's loads of money at stake, isn't there? And why wouldn't you want to go into the Ryder Cup having won?
But my feeling behind that is I know that obviously what you're saying, they do want to win, but are they here to make sure the rust is off and they're not bothered about competing? They're more bothered about making sure they are in A, the right frame of mind, and B, physically in good shape and swinging the golf club well for next week.
Well, a bit of both, and if they can win, they'll win, won't they?
Yeah.
There is an element of fine-tuning. But I would think if Bjorn or Westwood or any of the others had a chance of winning this week, they'll be going for it all up, blazing, because there's great confidence to be gained from it.
Absolutely. And Westwood has said in the press that this is the most excited he's been for a regular European Tour event in many years, which is very interesting coming into this week. I think his game is tailor-made for a golf course like this, Westwood, as well.
It is, yeah.
So he's interesting. Him and Casey were definitely the ones at the top of the betting that I was most interested in. Honourable mentions then, Mike, people who just missed out. I had a load here, actually.
Did you? Tommy Fleetwood, I bet, was on your mind, was he?
He wasn't. With you a little bit. I think he's a little bit too short for the golf course. Form here not fantastic, has it? Not in the last couple of years.
No,
57th and a missed cut here last 2 years.
Yeah, go on.
I was mildly interested in Christopher Broberg, but his form's tailed off a little bit in the last couple of weeks. I like Nicholas Coltsarts as well. He's had one start here, 12th in 2010, obviously a former Ryder Cupper. A couple of decent performances without being outstanding in the last couple of weeks. Peter Uihlein, who's coming back into form and finished second behind Gregory Bordy here last year, but he's been found in the market, I think, at 40s, given that he's not in the form of a guy that I've picked, Eduardo Molinari. He's not in that sort of form at the moment right now. But he's as I've mentioned 2 months ago on the podcast now, I'm really keeping my eye on Peter Uihlein at the moment.
Yeah, he could easily bounce back to form. A couple of bigger prices. Brett Rumford, who had a couple of wins last year, has drifted out to 150s.
Yeah.
If he can get his ball on the green in the right number, he certainly can put, so he'd be interesting. David Lynn is showing some interesting signs on a comeback after, I think, some time off. Two players that have not played that well here, or certainly Bernd Wiesberg hasn't played very well here, but you'd expect this to be a course he would like. And I'm not too sure Danny Willett's got very good form here either. He's missed four cuts on the trot. Having said that, he did have a fourth in 2009, so there were two players, again, who were just probably a little bit short enough to leave them. You know, what price is Willett, by the way?
He is 25.
He's too short of that for missing the four cuts on the trot.
Yeah, he's in great form, though.
I'm not surprised I crossed him off the list.
I think his course form will improve this week, Danny Willett.
You'd expect so, wouldn't you?
You definitely think so.
He has got a fourth at the track to his name. So there were guys that were on the list, so to speak.
Yeah, good stuff. I'm looking forward to it this week, the Wales Open. Before we leave you and recap the selections, worth mentioning as well, Mike, that there is a Champions Tour tournament this week with the Pacific Lynx Hawaii Championship.
Yep.
And
there's the web.com Tour Championship
there is as well.
As that comes to a close, the kind of secondary tour on the PGA roster. and the seniors, the champions, are in Hawaii. Where I've done a little bit of work on that this week. I've got saving
this one for Twitter, aren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, at M. Grenham.
Could be a big bet this week.
Could be. There's someone who catches my eye. In fact, there's a couple of people who catch, but one in particular catches my eye. And I'll definitely tweet that out on Wednesday. I would think I'm close to having a bet there.
If you do want to follow us on Twitter, at D. Kellner and at M. Grenham, make sure you have a look at Mike's Twitter account on Wednesday evening for that selection in the Pacific Links Hawaii Championship. Let's recap the picks then, Mike, for this week.
The picks all a point each way for me. In fact, I'm going to go for four, because if he wins at unders and I'm not, I'll keep myself. Thomas Bjorn at 33s, Simon Dyson 25s, and the two bigger price ones at treble figure odds, 125 to 1 Alvaro Quiroz, and Rafael Jacques Allain.
Okay, I'm going to point each way. Eduardo Molinari at 40 to 1.
Match bet with Simon Dyson.
I'm in for that.
Are you going for
I'm
it?
I'm in for that.
You've
I'll
won about
that.
10 out of the last 12.
I'll definitely take you on there. Eduardo Molinari to beat Simon Dyson this week.
Oh, I've got one back.
And a point each way on Seve Benson at 100 to 1. A little bit of tension in the middle of that podcast with that little scrap about Dyson's price and about Eduardo Molinari's price. It's a volatile lunch bet, that one.
It's there's a little bit of needle there, Dave.
I'm enjoying that.
I don't want to be disrespectful to the Molinaris. I just think they're underpriced a lot.
I hear what you're saying.
But how often they win?
Yeah.
You know,
Dyson's not won since 2011, by the way.
No, but he does win more.
How many wins has he got on tour? He's got more wins than Eduardo on tour.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up. He's got six wins. Yeah, he's got
six
more than both of the Molinaris put together.
He has. He's been on tour a lot longer as well. Thank you for listening to the podcast, folks. We'll speak again next week for the big one. Are we allowed to mention it yet?
What is it? What's on
it? It's at Glen Eagles, and we're looking forward to it. We'll bring you all the stats. We'll talk about all sorts of wonderful things. It's well worth tuning into next week's podcast.
It's a must listen podcast, I would suggest.
It is for Glen Eagles next week. I'm already looking forward to it. But I get stuck into the Wales Open this week.
When are we going to do it, Dave? What day are we going to do
Tuesday
it?
Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Week.
Doesn't start till Friday, but we're going to commit to Tuesday.
We'll commit to Tuesday next week. Make sure you check out Mike's Twitter account at M. Grenham for that bet. I know I will. He's not told me what it is yet in the Pacific Links Hawaii Championship.
You've built it up a bit now, Dave.
I have. You better come up with a winner now. Thank you for listening to the podcast. We've rambled on long enough. We'll be back again next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.